His name. Amen. Everybody have a handout? Perfect. Okay. Okay, well, first of all, I don't want to ruin you by telling you what I do, okay? So what we're going to do is I'm going to give you some of these things, and then you sift them and you make them your own. This is not the right way to do it. This is just how I do it. These are some principles that I think are the right way to do it in the principles thing. But, you know, it's almost dangerous to hear how somebody else prepares, because then you go, well, I'm not really like that. You've got a different personality than me. You've got a different, you know, role than I do. You know, we're just different people. So take it with a grain of salt, all the things that we share, but at the same time, get some principles with it. I remember when Breakaway was first starting, it was a small little group, and I would sit down in my apartment, and I just ended up kind of being the leader of the thing. And I would just take the study notes at the bottom of the Bible, and I would just share those sort of things. And I would get so nervous. I would literally eat Pepto-Bismol tablets before I would be able to share. And it was just probably 30 people. It wasn't like I was standing up preaching a sermon, but I just would get so nervous. And then we would pray, literally for an hour, we would pray, and which is awesome. And we would put, you know, a jam box is what we would call it, a kind of portable stereo. We put on all the slow Stephen Curtis Chapman songs, okay, is what we would do, because that was before all the praise and worship albums were everywhere. And we would just pray for an hour. And then I would come down so focused. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I mean, this is terrible hospitality. Don't do this in your life, Bible study. But I would just come downstairs, and I'd come down, and I'd sit down, and they'd start the music, and I'd be so focused. But I was so nervous. I was just like, I don't know if I can do this, you know? I remember one person came up to me, a college student, and said, you know, I really want you to start teaching on the deep things of God. He's kind of a little persnickety type of a person, you know? And so he said, I just want to know the deep things of God. You need to be teaching on the deep things of God. And I told him, I said, I don't know the deep things of God. I've only been saved like 3 years, you know? I'm doing the best I can, just trying to walk this thing out. And so maybe this isn't the Bible study for you, you know, to be able to have. So, man, nervous but excited, sensing God using me, but at the same time, can you use me? Sensing a moment where I'd say something and go, wow, that was really good, and not from a pride moment, but like, no, I think that connected, and it would encourage me. And then other times, man, that was the stupidest thing. Why did I do that? You know, when you decide you're going to teach, you give up 2 nights of sleep. The first night is what am I going to say? The second night is what did I just say? Okay, that's the two things. So I have your listening guide or your little thing if you'll take it, and we're going to go through just some different sections, and basically preparation and presentation is what we're going to do. And then on the back, I did this. This is where, you know, y'all are my favorite students. If you look on the back of the first page, that's my outline from last week's message, okay? And I thought that might be interesting for you to have. If you're here last week for church, you can look through it and go, oh, I remember that point. I remember that illustration. If not, you could take it home and you can watch it on the internet and just follow along with me and be able to say, okay, I see what he did there. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing to do. First thing here, if you'll just follow along with me, is number one, that first blank is your heart, preparation of your heart. The first thing that we've got to prepare is we've got to prepare our heart. Now, here's what I've been doing, and I would encourage you to do this as well. It's been very helpful to me. I always have a time that I write out a prayer whenever I prepare every, basically the way it works for me is basically Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday mornings are my preparation time. Monday, I'm just too tired. You know, it's too hard to be like, sermon went well on Sunday, hopefully, and then to start all over on Monday. It's like mowing the yard right after you mowed the yard. Okay, so Tuesday, I'll start, and I'll always write out a prayer. And I thought I'd just kind of share with y'all. We actually put my journal entry. So this is from my journal on your second page. And the one that's kind of the front one, I pulled out one of my journals from January 20th, 1998, okay? And I just pulled a random journal, and this is what I wrote. Wow, the first one of 1998. Only God knew that this day would come when the, goodness gracious, I can't read my own writing. come when the healing, breakaway prep, 1990. God, do your thing again on these pages. Only you can fill a notebook with truth. So this is like the first page of this notebook. Only you can fill a notebook with truth. Keep me from sharing my opinion or half-truths, but only share your word. I'm tired tonight, and we just came in from Breckenridge. I traveled and spoke, and I know God will speak, and then, you know, the rest of the page was too personal. I couldn't share it with you, you know, so I don't, who knows what was on there. But anyway, that's the speaking part there for that. Now look at the one, the kind of the top one there. That was from this week. I just pulled it out. Lord, we are finishing 1 John chapter 3, another step on a milestone journey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your water to wine of last week. And that's a phrase I use a lot where, you know, I feel like I have water and then God makes it into wine of last week. I trust you again. Thousands of messages and you've never failed me. I trust you. And I just wanted you to just see that. That's just preparing your heart. Before you get into anything, I always write out a prayer and I'll do it every day. And I'll end up with just these kind of almost I have a prayer journal more so of personal stuff at home. But that's where I just have that. And I just write it out. Just good old diary of writing it out. So prepare your heart. You want to be a person that lives better than you teach. You want to live better than you teach. There's a lot of people, unfortunately, that will teach better than they live. And that'll be shown at some point, you know. I mean, we've all seen folks that, you know, they're not backing it up with what they're saying. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, it says, the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. Sit slowly with it. Let it simmer like a crock pot in your heart, a rice cooker, you know, to just kind of let it simmer there. The heart is too quickly passed, but it's the most important. So before we jump into preparation and all these different things, make sure you get everything right. Where's your heart? Because I tell you this, people would rather hear a person pour out their heart than they would have them pour out their mind. You know, we need to know our stuff. We don't just need, you know, your counseling session in Life Bible study every week or mine on the pulpit, but to be able to pour out our hearts and say, Lord, we want to pour out our hearts for you. Number two, preparation, your second blank is your mind. Your mind. I'll give you the two bullet points under that. Understand the passage or subject. Understand the audience, okay? So your mind, you do want to prepare your mind. We're not going to just have just our heart prepared and have a quiet time in front of everybody. We want to prepare our mind. So the first thing is we want to understand the passage or the subject. And so you can get a lot of resources online. I use a thing called Logos, L-O-G-O-S. It's a Bible software program. You know, I've got like the you know, $1,000 version type stuff, but you know, this is what I do. They have cheaper versions too, so I need a sharp scalpel with what I do, so I've got the best one that you can have. But looking in there and prepare my mind, what's this passage about? So many good resources that we have. Read it in different passages or different translations even, and be able to really understand what it's saying in those different translations. Prepare your mind. What's the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why? You can just ask those questions about that passage of Scripture and really understand what's happening, because there's some difficult places in this where you go, how do I apply this? Well, you got to get the context of what's going on with those sort of things to be able to have that. So let me show you, if you ever wondered, you know, people sometimes come up to me and they're like, man, do you just get up and just talk? You just seem so free up there. You just kind of, does God just lay it on your heart and you just get up and just let it all happen? I'm like, the Lord lays it on my heart and then I prepare like hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, yes. But then it comes. So I want to show you this kind of, I'm giving you the behind the scenes how the sausage is made. These are my speaking binders, okay? These are my messages, okay? So everyone goes into a binder at the end. When I go on sabbatical, that's one of the things one of my assistants helps me with. So this is 1 and 2 Peter. Do you remember that? So here's my just going from the hip, okay? Here's what it is. We've got the one here of love first. Remember when we went through all that with Harvey that we had? Let's see here. This is Acts chapter 8 through 18, okay, in this section here. So usually I've got all different, you know, I've got an outline, and what I do, actually I'll tell you this in just a second, how it all works out. But I mean, this isn't just like I just came up with it. This is Ephesians 1 through 6. And so I just prepare them. I put them together. I have a volunteer research team that helps here at the church that they'll take some commentaries and maybe they'll read about 400 pages of commentary or a couple hundred pages of commentary. I don't know how much it always works out to be. And then they'll kind of pull it down to maybe 20, 30, usually about a page per verse, so that I don't have to read every single commentary that's out there. They know the ones that I like and they bring it down for me. And so they help me with that. And then so they kind of give me the cloth is the way we say it. And then I help make the shirt. you know? And so it's still from my heart, still those sort of things. And they actually tell me, they're like, how in the world did what we gave you end up being that? But that's where you end up all these things here. And you can come up and flip through some of them if you'd like to and just see what's happening. But they basically all look like that outline that I showed you from last week to be able to have that. So preparing your mind, and preparing also understand your audience. Understand your audience, okay? What's their age? What's their stage? What's their needs? What's their hopes? What's their questions? What's their fears? How are you different from them? How are you similar to them? Okay? The goal is you want to gain their ear. You want to gain their ear. So I have a table in my office. It's a round table. That's four chairs around it. And I sit a lot of times at that table to prepare and open up my laptop. And sometimes I'll take Post-it notes and I'll write on the Post-it notes and I'll put them on the chairs. And I'll write stuff like this: single mom, you know, divorced, depressed, you know, a person that doesn't know the Lord, somebody that's upset about, you know, doesn't like church, you know, mad at God. And I'll just put these Post-it notes, and then now I'm preparing, and I'm thinking about what that passage of Scripture, looking out and seeing, okay, and when I say that, how's that going to hit, you know, the single mom, for instance, or the single dad? How's that going to hit the person struggling with depression? What is it? Because what we'll do is you end up, if you're not careful, you'll preach to yourself. You think everybody's thinking like you, okay? And everybody else didn't grow up in the church, if maybe you grew up in the church. Everybody else doesn't have 2.5 kids, if you have 2.5 kids. You know, I mean, all those sort of things. It's so you gotta get out of your mind. So that's part of preparing your mind. It's the passage, but it's also who's receiving that, who's out there. Now, Life Bible Study, what's great about that is typically that begins to be a little bit more of a homogeneous group, right? Now, of course, different ethnicities, different ages and stages, we want all that. But it is typically the same similar age group or stage of life or something like that, where I'm up there and, you know, I'm hitting the 8 to the 80-year-old, right? You know, so it's a little bit different on being able to do that. So I'm going to stop along the way, and you're not used to this because y'all are used to listening to me at 30 minutes, 35 minutes, sometimes 40 minutes at a clip without saying anything. But I do want to stop and just give a couple hard breaks to say Q&A moment, right? Somebody can ask me a question about that. So after this next point, I'm going to stop after number 3, and then I'm going to let you ask me some questions about those things so you can be preparing. Okay, the third blank is this, to prepare your lesson, to prepare your lesson. Now, a lot of times we just jump to number 3, don't we? Right? Okay. Let me get out the pen. Let me get out the Bible and time to prepare the lesson. Or let me get out the quarterly or the tools that you're using to help you prepare the lesson, whatever it is. And that's great. But you got to get through the heart and the mind to really be in the right spot. Okay. So now we get to the prepare your lesson. Here's what I do. It's just what I do. You don't have to do this. I speak from an outline, and that's what you have there on the back. So if you'll look, well, you look on the back there and you can see my outline of that page. The highlighted things are what makes it into your listening guide, okay? So those are my main points. So when y'all have your listening guide in your lap, you'll know now you've got the secret that's Roman numeral 1, that's Roman numeral 2, that's Roman numeral 3. It's not rocket science, right? And so we've got this, and I just go from an outline like this. So we call this in my office. I write this all down, scribbly scrabble, like a, you know, looks like doctor's handwriting to the pharmacist. And I hand it to my assistant, Pam, and she types it out for me. And page 1 is my outline. It's just how I do it in preparing my lesson. Page 1 is my outline. Page 2 is my illustrations. And page 3 is my supporting scriptures. So that's how I arrange them so that I have my outline. If you notice, watch this Sunday. When they bring out my table and we're praying, I'm opening up my computer, I'm getting it right, and I'm arranging pieces of paper on my little platform there. And I'm basically, I've got my outline, page 1, I got my illustrations, page 2, and I got my supporting scriptures, page 3. Now, I got it on my outline, or my outline's on my computer as well, but man, you never know when a computer's going to go wrong, okay? So I don't want to be in a spot. One time I had a virus, and it was popping up gambling things in the middle of the sermon. I was like, the devil's in the building. You know what I mean? What's all these little papas, 777, doo-doo-doo-doo. I was like, oh my gosh. But you just don't know. So I always like to have a paper copy there to be able to have it. And I don't want to scroll too much and do all that. So anyway, that's what I try to do. So then you'll see on my outline too, my blue things are either examples. See the blue font? they're examples or they're illustrations. That's what it looks like, three I's, but it's actually I-L-L. So look down, Roman numeral 2, letter B, MSC cafeteria lady wearing my T-shirt. Do you remember that last week? So that was there, and I actually moved it up. I've kind of been doing this enough that sometimes I'll move these things around. Faith Center stats and pictures. So I got the little green thing, and if it's green, I know this doesn't in your context, but if it's green, it's going to go on the TV screen behind me. Okay, so the production people know the verse of scripture, the pictures of the Faith Center. So it's just a little bit on how the sausage is made. Then finally, the very end, the closing, Alan Gardner was the missionary I talked about, or I had the skit that I saw in a Cuban church of sharing food, and I just wasn't sure which one I was going to end with. So I just kind of put them both on there. I was like, okay, Lord, whatever way you direct me, I'll just go that way. And I went the missionary way. Okay, so that's your lesson. So outline is number one, just for me. You do what you want to do. Some people like the manuscript, and that's awesome. Did you see David? David tonight was a little more manuscript. If you were noticing, he was pulling up his iPad. He was saying lines that sound really good, and that's why some of my lines don't sound really good because I don't manuscript. I get the bones, skeleton with the outline, and then the flesh comes as I'm speaking. It's just how I do it. People do it different to be able to do that. So let's take just a stop. Prepare your heart. We're talking about preparation. Your heart, your mind, your lesson. What? Any questions or thoughts on that? Yes, ma'am. It's a lot faster now. This week's preparation, I was kind of, preparation's a creative art for me, so you can't just shove your way through it. At some point, you're like, I got to get up and walk around. You know, I got to leave it for a little bit and come back to it. And so I said, no, I'm going to stick with it a little bit longer, and I was able to just get the outline, boom, 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 boom. And this week, campus pastors are preaching. We're all doing the same passage, but everybody's doing it live at the campuses. So we're sharing an outline, so I knew that they would want to see my outline, and then they can do what they want to do if they want to use it or not. That's their call. But so it's a lot faster to be able to do that. So, and then I would say on that too, if you're taking too long, if you feel like it's taking too long, just push a little harder and just make the decision. I find the delay a lot of times is we just don't want to make that decision of what the point is. I'm just writing down, I'm going to say this and I'm going to do this. Just write it down. A rough draft is better than no draft, right? A first draft is better than no draft. And just write it down and force yourself to do that. If not, you'll kind of, you'll pray about it, which is great. Of course, we want to pray about it. But, you'll just keep praying about it and praying about it. And you're really kind of just delaying decision making. And so you end up in a place of, it took you X hours instead of Y hours. And I don't want to say a number, because if I say the number of what I do, you're going to go, ooh, I do more, I do less, ooh, I should, so it's just kind of wherever you find your place to be. Somebody else? Yes, sir. Yeah, I would say, maybe I said it wrong, I would say prepare your heart first. Prepare, not pour out. Yeah, that you want to prepare your heart first, then prepare your mind. Now, what you choose to share, there's some messages you need to start with a quote, start with a statistic, to be able to do that. We'll get in just a second. I'll show you another aspect of how to put all that together with Aristotle's points in just a moment. But it just depends. If I'm going to do something that I know is going to be a tough subject, it's really good to start with something kind of funny and light, and kind of go, okay, guys, we're going to talk about XYZ today, and you just kind of do that. If I'm going to do something that's more heady, well, then that's where, a survey was done and statistics were shown and so-and-so, because you want to establish credibility with that. So where are you going with it? What's the passage leading you to? And then what would be your start from that place? But yeah, prepare your heart first, not necessarily pour your heart out first. That can change. Yes, ma'am. Cynthia.
How does your niece, Sarah Groves, fit into this?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I actually listen to music. I listen to, like, when I'm actually preparing, like, chill piano kind of stuff, or like Kenny G, you know. So it's just instrumental, soothing. I'm a decaf guy, so I don't. I mean, I'll have a Coke every once in a while, but I have decaf coffee because I find I'm too hyped up. If I have, you know, a cup of coffee in the morning to prepare, I'm like, man, 5 minutes in, I'm like, I'm done. This is great. Let's go do something else. So, but I'll put on headphones and listen to songs and music and different things. That's a prepare my heart type thing. But then a lot of times my office it faces the street or the highway, so I'm kind of up this way. So it's really noisy. There's a lot of, you know, I can hear the cars going by, and then, you know, my assistant right outside. Sometimes I can hear her talking to somebody. So I'll put on I have a little Bluetooth speaker, and I'll just put on some kind of chill piano, George Winston or Kenny G or something like that. It's just kind of chill stuff, because if not, I'll start singing along, you know, type thing. But it's just kind of, I have to pull myself down in preparation. And then in presentation, we'll get to in a minute, and then I'm coming up. You know, that's this part. The preparation's this part. Yes, sir. And you hear me Sunday night. Yes. Yeah. We'll meet in between the 9:15 and the 11. I'll meet with the worship guys and the production guys as well, behind kind of this little backstage area. We call it the tunnel, where you walk out. If you ever in the Loop campus and you see somebody walk out of the right side, that's what we call the tunnel. It's just a little tunnel back there. And I'll say, okay, we'll kind of go over it, not point by point, but like, you know, man, you kind of sounded mean on that one point. I'm like, I did. Oh, I didn't realize. Or I think if you, you know, and then I'm like, well, you were out of tune, you know, is what I tell them. So, you know, but yeah, I try to tweak it. And then also Kelly will say something, you know, in between. I'll see her. I'll usually go up to my office to go to the restroom, and I'll see her up there, and then we'll come back down. And she's a tremendous encourager. I mean, poor girl has heard me speak more than 1,000 times, but she's a real encourager. But, you know, she hears it from a lady's ears, you know, and that's important. You know, ladies, you hear it differently sometimes than we hear it as men. And so that's a good thing of that clarity. So, yeah, I'm always tweaking and changing. So, yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, this is my job. I get to do this, you know. Yeah, you know, it's just perseverance and just sticking with it. And I think if you can come back around to it a few times and not feel like, and that's where you start getting stressed, when you kind of feel like, okay, it's Saturday night and I didn't do any preparation, which, man, I understand that you guys and gals have jobs and lives and all that sort of stuff. So you just got to keep pushing through it. So I think if you just keep reading the scriptures, and you just start, even on Monday, just, you know, maybe reading the scripture and kind of getting it through you, and then Tuesday, write a couple notes. What I do is I'll take, like, say I'm going to do verses 20 through 25 of whatever chapter. I'll write down, what does each verse mean to me? You know, just making my own little commentary out of it. And then I'll look at the study part and make sure I'm right, you know, that it's not, this was a crazy thought of this. But it just helps me to, a pen, a piece of paper, you know, and then it becomes this. This is, you know, this goes into the official analog here of, you know, annals of history. But it really all begins, if I was to take you, just like I showed you with my journal entries, I'd show you in this kind of bookshelf area I have in my office. I've got this much of just spiral notebooks. You know, I got a fancy one this time. I decided at the end of 2018, I went online and bought this journal, and it was like $12. It was really expensive. The first 10 pages had Japanese or Chinese subway maps in it. I don't know what happened. So I cut it out with an X-Acto knife. It's got this kind of faux leather cover and everything, and but I like it big. You know, I want a big 8.5 by 11. I don't want a little kind of journal thing. So just let it be a process. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I think there is, you know, they call it the 10,000 hour rule, that you don't become an expert at something until you've done it 10,000 hours, which we don't always have that opportunity to do that. But I would say this, first thing is everybody's for you. Everybody's for you. There's nobody in there that's like, well, I wonder what they're going to say today. And some people listen differently, like their expressions. There was one friend of mine that if some of you ladies have read any of Melanie Schenkel's books, she's an author and been very successful. She was in Breakaway way back when, and her best friend was a girl named Amy. And Amy, one of her eyes didn't work quite as well, so this was a good one. So she'd listen like this. And I pulled her aside, like, Amy, are you mad at me? I mean, what's going on? She's like, no, that's just, I just can't see as well out of this. You know, so people just have different facial expressions. You know, people are going to fall asleep in the middle of stuff. I mean, it's just, I got a point in a minute that, yeah, it's just true. There's somebody, y'all know, in the 5 o'clock, there's somebody that snores to the left every Sunday. It's like, and I'm like, oh, no. So what do you do? But I just expect, and we'll get to this point in a little bit, expect 10% of the crowd to violently not listen. Okay, that's my phrase. Expect 10% to violently not listen. And the younger they are, the higher the percentage is going to be, right? And then the older they are, the more they're going to fall asleep. Okay, so it kind of goes the other way. So I think just know that they're for you. Stand up there with confidence. God's called you. You're going to live. It's okay. You know, it's going to be fine. And a little bit of it, too, is you got to crucify that. Why am I afraid? Well, I'm afraid because if I do a bad job, they're not going to think well of me, so I need to crucify that. So I have this phrase, and you can a couple things to put together. I say this, death to performance, death to approval. I pray that a lot of times, death to performance, death to approval. And, you know, as I've done it more and the settings get bigger, it can become more performance. Lights, camera, action. TV cameras are rolling, we're broadcasting to multi-sites, it's on the internet. Death to performance, death to approval, right? And then life to Jesus to be able to do that. Rick, one question that I'm going to get back in here. Go ahead. You know, the commentaries are the best, and you just have to find out which one you like, and I just click on them, and so sometimes I don't even know their names. I mean, I see them so much that I can't even remember. I just start clicking through. Some of them are long-winded. Matthew Henry is typically very long-winded, you know. So I just kind of, I don't do him, you know. And so try to get a little bit more concise to be able to do that. And you know, a lot of study Bibles, I would say, have a few different study Bibles. You can have an apologetic study Bible next to a devotional kind of study Bible that'll have a devotional thought in it. And you put those three things together with apologetics, a biblical backgrounds kind of feel to it is where a lot of them go. And then a devotional thing. In my quiet time, I use Chuck Swindoll's Bible. It's New Living Translation. It's really great, so it's good. Okay, I got 10 minutes and I got to go. I got a lot of things to talk. Okay, here we go. Let's hit it rocket speed. Okay, your illustrations. Your illustrations is number four. Y'all know by hearing me each week, I illustrate all the time. You know, I feel like they're modern-day parables. Your next blank is point for the head, story for the heart. Point for the head, story for the heart. So think about your point. What's your point? And then what's the story for your heart? It doesn't have to be a make-you-cry story. It could be a quote. It could be an illustration of a statistic. It could be all different kinds. Here's a picture's worth 1,000 words. If you can make it visual, you can make it memorable, which is a great thing. Here's what Aristotle said. There's three pillars of rhetoric. Pathos, which is your emotions. Ethos, which is your credibility. And then logos, which is your reason. Okay, and you want to have all three of those in there. You want to have some emotion touch, right? We're emotional beings. That's pathos. You want to have ethos. You want to have credibility. This person knows what they're talking about. They have the character to back it up. Then logos, reason. So what's the goal of your illustration. You know, it's not just to be funny. It's you know, it's to connect. It's a modern day parable to be able to do that. And also, it's a little bit of a commercial break. You know, so sometimes you'll see an illustration. I'll take it and I'll kind of tell a story to get to the moment, right? And then I get to the right hook of the illustration. But telling the story is a little bit of a commercial break to be able to go along. Okay, best place to put illustrations are your intro, your transitions, and your closing. Okay, your intro, your transitions, and your closing. So today we're going to talk about, you know, how to have a good marriage. And, you know, my wife and I just had a fight, and this is how it went, you know, whatever it is. Then you get to the transition. You're either going to illustrate what you just taught them, or you're going to illustrate what you're going to teach them. So that's your transition between point one and point two. And then you want to close it up with an illustration that's kind of the right hook, boom, knockout punch. Okay, so don't use illustrations. I'm going to give you too many things, and you'll be able to write down, but just if you can hear these. Don't use illustrations as crutches. Don't belabor the point or story. Don't over-illustrate. You don't need five illustrations for one point. You know, you just need one illustration for one point. You might not even need an illustration. I found when I was younger, I felt more comfortable if I had three stories in one point, you know, and I think that was kind of an immaturity in my teaching. Now I can do 3 points with one illustration. It's okay. Sometimes you just got to shuck the corn and get it done, right? So that's okay. Do have fun. Be creative. You know, relate, take a risk, inspire, you know, ask people for advice on I was thinking about doing this, what do you think, how would that work? That would be a great thing. Always be gathering illustrations, okay? Every time you read the newspaper or magazine, be ripping stuff out, taking pictures on your phone. I have files of illustrations, I have email things. When somebody forwards you an email, great story on da-da-da-da-da, put that somewhere in a file on your email thing of illustrations. And pop that in there, and then you know you can have it for later. If you can't, this is a real convicting statement. If you can't illustrate it, it's either not true or you don't understand it. Okay, doesn't mean you have to illustrate it good. Doesn't mean you even have to present that illustration. But if you can't illustrate it, it's either not true or you don't understand it. But you should get to a place that you go, here's the point. I can see this in real life being played out. Illustration is just an application. Okay? All right, now let's look at this next thing, and we're going to go through these eight really quick. Presentation, okay? Presentation is what we're talking about. What's the difference between a Major League Baseball player and a Minor League Baseball player, or pitcher, I'll say? There's only one difference. You still got a ball, you still got a batter, you still got an outfield, same distance from the mound. The difference is delivery, right? That's the difference. Nolan Ryan's delivery is different than, you know, person XYZ in the minor leagues. So now we've got this delivery moment. What's the delivery moment? Is it, are we all sit in a circle together? You know, is that the kind of moment? Is it standing up type of deal? How do we deliver? Be true to your personality. If you're a little more reserved, don't feel like you got to become a clown. That's not what you got to be. If you're an extrovert, man, you know, get out there and go for it. So let me give you a couple things. One, teaching is leading. Teaching is leading. Take charge, command, and expect their attention. Okay, that sounds prideful, but command and expect their attention. When you're teaching, that's where it's happening, right? And so, I mean, that's just what you want to be able to do. Command and expect their attention. Watch out, number two, for quirks and nervous leaks and distractions. I found this one kid at our church counted, and I said, in this spot, 27 times in a message. Isn't that terrible? I kept saying, you know, in this spot of scripture, and in this spot in your life, and in this spot when you're walking through, in this, it was like this, there was this word. It can become like, it can be it can be I always tell you. It can, I mean, there's all sorts of filler words that are nervous quirks and leaks, okay? Do you always scratch your head? Do you always adjust your glasses? Do you always do your shirt like this? Do you stand? A lot of times people get nervous and they'll stand with their legs crossed. This is not a comfortable way to stand. Right? Unless you got to go to the bathroom and it's not around, okay? But we don't even realize we're doing it, but we're nervous and it's coming out of us in weird ways. So we're talking about presentation, right? I'm not talking content. I'm just talking presentation. Be aware of that. Ask somebody. I would ask Kelly when I would travel and speak in the summers. I did at the end of the summers. I'd say, okay, do me. And she would imitate me so well. It was great. And I'd bend down and this and that and all these. I mean, it was like perfect. So ask somebody. They know. What are your filler words? Number three, what are your filler words? I hit that a little bit. stuff, you know? So, like, I'm so excited to be here, you know, all those sort of things. Number four, let the lesson breathe. Let the lesson breathe. There should be highs and lows of tempo and volume, you know? So you don't come in and go, hey, today we're going to talk about it. It's going to be incredible. Turning your Bible is going to be incredible. Right? You got to, man, this is incredible. Look at what Jesus did here. And you know what? And then he reached out. That woman reached out and touched the hem of his garment. You know, and you just are able to let that message, let it breathe. Number five, what are your nonverbals? What are your nonverbals? Are you too stiff? You know, or do you kind of do this? Okay, man, what we're doing, and we need to make sure that we're all here today, and it's going to be great, and we're just excited about, and all of a sudden now you're walking a mile. What is that? That's just nervous, quirky stuff coming out that becomes harder for the person to listen to. So, you know, if you're too professorial, it could get boring, right? And if you're too animated, it could get kind of shallow. So you got to find that way of, you know, what are your nonverbals? You'll see with me a lot of times. I'm just telling you. I don't even realize I was doing, but I do it now. If I've got kind of a hard point, a lot of times I'll sit down, you know, and I'll just sit and I'll say, "Let's talk about this for a second. You know, let me share with you something that might be a little bit difficult or something that's real heartfelt." Because if I'm out here on the hard point, right, then that people start kind of backing up a little bit. So, what's your nonverbals on that? Number six. Think airplane, not helicopter, in opening and closings. Think airplane, not helicopter, in opening and closings. Helicopter, zoom, up, down, right? You want to think kind of we're launching, and then we're landing the plane. And one of the hardest things for people to do is to be quiet and land the plane. That's one of the hardest things to do. I mean, you can see it with speakers, right? They're circling the airfield. You're like, I got it. It's time to pray. It's time to wrap it up. It's time to wrap it up. And, man, I can be guilty of that as well. Just one more thing. But you want to glide into that last thing. You want to take off nicely to be able to have there. Okay, number seven, and this is what you asked about, handling nerves. Be alone and take a deep breath. Okay, let me just relax. Stand in the place that you will teach beforehand. Okay, so like this room right here, I got this big column right here. Okay, this is a problem for a speaker to be able to lead this. So, you know, thankfully, see, I just see you for the very first time around over here. Didn't even know he's back there. And then but I've been trying to position that column so that everybody can see me as best they could, because I came up here beforehand and I'd identified that. I'm knowing what that is. So stand in the place you're going to speak. What's on the floor? What's around? If you just get up and do it, the nerves kind of get a little bit higher. Speak to a group of individuals, okay? Instead of thinking there's 50 people in the room, speak to a group of individuals. If I just talk to Gary, you know, and what would I say to Gary across the table if we went to lunch? Let me do that and not feel like, oh, there's so many people here. You know, at some point, it moves from a dialogue to a monologue, you know? So that's a difference, but it's still a group of individuals. They chose to be there. They're for you. Look for an encourager in the crowd. Plan on 10% not listening. Look for an encourager in the crowd. There's always somebody. They're nodding with you and going with you. Just keep coming back to them, right? Just okay, every time. He's like, you're with me. Yeah, exactly. You got to find the right person. And be a good listener, too. You know, I mean, it means something to people when, you know, everybody thinks I can't see them. I don't know why y'all think you can see me and I can't see y'all. But, okay, number eight, trust God and walk in grace. Don't beat yourself up. Trust God, walk in grace, don't beat yourself up. I've said so many things wrong. I've said so many things right. It's just how it is. You just can't beat yourself up. It's just how it is. So what do? You just keep on going to be able to do that. Okay. All right. Last thing I want you to see, I put a quote down at the very bottom, and it says this. During the Civil War, writes author Tim Ryder, President Lincoln attended Wednesday evening services at a church close to the White House. Accompanied by Secret Service agents, Lincoln would sit in the pastor's study during the message. Then they would walk back together, I guess headed back to the White House. One evening after the service, an agent asked Lincoln, "What did you think of tonight's sermon?" Lincoln replied, "It was brilliantly conceived, biblical, relevant, and well presented." "So it was a great sermon?" "No, it failed. It failed because Dr. Gurley did not ask us to do something great." Okay, I thought thought that's a great thing. Now, poor Dr. Gurley, that he's, you know, for the rest of his life, he's pulled out by Abraham Lincoln, and we're still quoting him today. So, and then he's got, his last name's Gurley, so that's even harder. So, but we want to inspire people to do something great, okay? Prepare your heart, prepare your mind, prepare your heart, prepare your mind, get your presentation ready, do your study, get things ready, find what works for you, and then allow that moment to be presentation and illustration to be able to have that. So, Rob, how much time do we have, and what do we need to do, Coach? Perfect. That's great. Okay, well, thank y'all for listening. Y'all did a great job. All right. Thank you.